With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to episode 26 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com, or as I'm going to be calling this one, the beginning of Phase 4. That's right, we are here, and we have reunited the Comic Book Nation Trinity. It is me, Matthew Aguilar, Brandon Davis, and this is the start of a new universe because we have all seen Avengers Endgame, and we are here to just do one thing and one thing only. We are going to review Endgame, talk spoilers, and talk about what this movie does to set us up for the next phase of Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. That's it. So, obviously, if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame, please stop listening / watching right now unless you are ready to jump into full spoilers, because that is where we are headed. Guys, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready. Ready.
All right. Well, let's get into it. I think we're going to talk and just kind of start with giving our impressions of the movie overall and, you know, in full spoiler mode if you want. But then we'll get into some of the deeper points of the movie because there is so much to talk about, so much to unpack, and we're going to get to it. And I thought we'd start with you, Mr. Brandon Davis, since you wrote our official comicbook.com Avengers Endgame review, and you are like the only one up here who's actually seen the film twice. All of us, me, Matt, producer Jim Viscardi, we're all just kind of coming off what minimal sleep we got.
I'm still coming off that high. I'm just like, give me
four. Yeah, we've all just like seen this movie and are just rolling in here. But you, Brandon Davis, you went to the Avengers Endgame premiere. You've seen it. You went last night. You saw it in IMAX. So you have this kind of double perspective. Take us through your review and what you think about the movie.
It's okay. Man, that movie is just unbelievably
good. Don't
good.
Like Luke lightsaber
oh
this
my
whole thing.
Oh gosh, yeah, well, whatever. Nah, man, start to finish, I think it's just, I liked it so much more the second time. I felt like the first time I watched it, in the first 45 minutes, I sat there and I thought, oof, I kind of hope this gets better. But then, that's because I was too busy trying to figure out what's going to happen and like looking forward to the big fights that I'm waiting for and all this stuff. The second time I watched it, I appreciated those first 45 minutes so much more because the setup was actually very interesting. All of that, they had the tracking down Ronin, getting Scott Lang out of the Quantum. I mean, it's kind of cheap that a rat stepped on a button and let Scott Lang out of the Quantum Realm and that ended up saving everybody. But like just the Tony and Cap relationship, I didn't expect it to be so hostile at first. That was great to see. It was very unexpected. And then it became kind of, you know, the backbone of the film. And just as a fan, I mean, the movie itself is incredible. It's the most entertaining thing I've ever seen, I think. I can't think of anything like it. It took everything you like from other movies and made it work in one. But speaking of taking things from other movies, if you're a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe like we are, I mean, I'm a huge MCU fan. It's no secret. I love these movies. Mm. There are so many just payoffs and tributes and little homages. Like, just things like as small, like when Iron Man jumps out of Avengers Tower in 2012, after we're already just geeked about going back to the Battle of New York, he does the exact same thing when he jumps out of the building like he did in the first Avengers movie when he's waiting for the suit to catch him. And then that's not a really small one. There's other ones, a bigger one, like Thor getting to say goodbye to his mom. And a lot of us hate on the Dark World, but they made it important and they rewarded you for watching it. Because you know...
They made me love that movie even more.
Yeah, later that day, she dies. So you get that moment of Thor, like Howard, Tony gets the moment with Howard. Thor gets the moment with Frigga. And then, but there's little tiny details like when the Wasp shows up and she's there with Ant-Man and she says Cap and she looks at Scott Lang and she smiles because she's like, oh, you do call him Cap. Nobody who hasn't watched Ant-Man and the Wasp gets that.
Yeah.
But you get it because she used to make fun of him for calling him Cap. You know, I just think they took everything fans have grown to love about the MCU everything fans have said they want to see, except for Bucky Steve Rogers canon, and they made it all happen.
That's true.
Like, they just did such a good job. They did such a good job. They even they made Joe Russo the first openly gay that character in the
great.
MCU. I was like, all right, we know this.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
Yeah, it was great. It was just so, and it all fit. It all fit. The A4, all the women in that one shot. Like, I don't know what else somebody could. What else could you want from this movie? I don't know. I'm kind of bad. My boy Thanos got killed twice. Twice. The disrespect. But, like, I don't know what else you could have wanted. I had such high expectations, and I think it exceeded them.
Yeah, I think jumping in, like, yeah, I think expectations is a good word to kind of pass the ball on, because I think that's what you describe and why I wanted to hear you go first is because, like I said, you've seen it twice. For me, I'm still here, and I'm kind of, like, in the process of just, you know, actually processing the film as opposed to my expectations of the film. And, yeah, it's so crazy because the film does play in such an unexpected way to what we thought. I mean, we have been swimming in theories for a year now.
None of them were right.
Yeah, I was gonna say, almost, yeah, none of them were correct.
There were some that were close. I know someone in the comment section is saying, I said Captain America is going to stay in the past. Yeah, we kind of all did, but it all still went differently than you thought it would go.
Right.
Even though that happened, it still ended differently.
Up in a way.
Yeah.
Like, I'll let you finish, Kofi, and then I'll...
No, I mean, like, yeah, I did an article betting the odds of who was going to live and who was going to die that was...
Who picked Black Widow? Nobody picked Black Widow to die.
I said it was moderate because I thought that she would sacrifice. We actually did say I did.
And I tell you what, that's probably one of my biggest issues with the movie.
Yeah,
Black Widow dying.
Issue with that. Yeah, we're gonna get into some of that stuff too about the issues, but just overall, like, yeah, the expectations. The Russo brothers do so. This movie is so packed on a blockbuster movie level with so much spectacle and stuff that you just take it for granted after a while. Mm-hmm. Like things like just throwing a whole time travel movie into the middle of a movie where it's not even like the biggest point of the movie. It's just a self-contained story in the middle about them going to all these points in the past and doing things. And you get moments like Captain America fighting Captain America.
And America's ass.
Which looked amazing and like seamless. And you're just like, but it's like such just a moment in this movie that you just don't even appreciate or take in for granted. And like, as I was driving in here and like really having it sink in, I'm just thinking about all of the images we saw that were just so amazing and like next level for superhero movies. I mean, the Cap versus Cap fight, just Cap versus Thanos with the sword or the hammer with Mjolnir.
Going all Ray Kylo Ren on
like,
it.
Yeah.
When that hammer started to move, the first time I saw it, I sat up and I said, oh, it's going to Cap. And I was like, hope, but I said it like with hope. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I was like, that hammer's going to
that
Cap.
Was, yeah. And that was the moment when people in the theater just like.
Yeah, people loved it.
Did you guys have really good energy in the theater?
We did.
Because we did. Yeah. I mean, at points, I was kind of like, I didn't want to hear anything, but then I was with the crowd too. Like, people were like, get it, Cap! Get it!
Yeah, it was like watching a sporting event. People were cheering like we were watching a sporting event.
I stood and clapped when Cap said Avengers Assemble.
Right there. Our audience clapped multiple times.
Yeah, we went nuts for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, so. Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to do it because I have to see this movie again and really let it sink in. But, like you said, the power of just taking all of these movies and. You know, in Infinity War, we were talking about it in a different way. It was the novelty of seeing people meet for the first time or hang out. But this movie really pays back everything down to just like the Peggy Carter TV series, if you watch that. And I was actually a fan of that. And seeing Hugh Darcy just show up for like a shot as Jarvis and still driving, like the deep cuts were so deep.
And so rewarding.
So rewarding, like you said.
They were so rewarding.
Like,
I mean,
yeah.
You didn't get the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that's fine.
No, I know. Like, yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, we sidestep that whole thing. But,
I'm kind of surprised that they put Jarvis in because they do totally snub all TV in the big screen MCU. They just act like TV doesn't exist.
Agent Carter is kind of, it's become cult classic.
But Agent Carter truly spun from the MCU one shot.
But so now the Agent Carter events kind of can't have happened, right?
I mean, that's like the big plot hole question that we can get into. But yeah, it just makes it seem you can't have, unless it all happens after.
Like
I don't
Captain
remember
America
when.
There?
I don't remember how Agent Carter totally ended.
Or did it happen all before that? Before he came back.
Well, Agent Carter would have happened, yeah, before he came back.
So, and yeah. They leave that. They don't answer that question specifically, no, that, so they don't have
the only change, I was thinking about that with Cap, and yeah, that ending, that last shot, I mean, I came on here and said, like, the first Avenger was, like, a very meaningful thing for me, like, the ending and him not getting the date. So that last shot, I didn't cry, like, in the movie. I was proud because I was so prepared that people said I was going to cry that I was, like, I'm not going to do it, especially not to the next to the people I was next to, but...
The cheeseburger, line didn't
get
you? Yeah,
which line hit you in the feels, or which moment made you cry or feel the most? Because for me, I mean, when they flipped the Infinity War and it was Peter Parker saying goodbye to Tony, and I mean, Tom Holland did such a good job. I think Jeremy Renner did an incredible job too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Renner acting was amazing. That was the first one that got me, but the one that got me the most was when Pep comes over and she tells him, you can rest now.
Yep.
Earlier in the film, by the way, when he discovered time travel, she said to him, would you be able to rest?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, Pepper Potts and Gwyneth Paltrow's role in this was so, you know, understatedly powerful, but good. Like, seeing the proof that Tony Stark has a heart thing.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Memorial, the cheeseburger's like, line, though. That cheeseburger's line from Jon Favreau. When he looks at her,
just having Jon Favreau up there and seeing that was just, again, such a deep cut. Like saying goodbye to the thing that he started. Like, yeah, I mean, there's just all of that.
Whatever happened to Lady Sif?
Family stuff, like the family stuff, like I always say, like family stuff now gets me because you know, having a family. Yep. So, like the Hawkeye thing in the beginning, like really messed
that
with me.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly, the Ant-Man coming back and 5 years later and seeing his daughter thing. Like,
oh,
really
Paul Rudd did a great job in that scene,
like,
too. They all act like, I feel like this was so many people's best performances.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Like, this, in some ways, I think Infinity War was for the fans, but I think Endgame in a lot of ways was for the actors, and especially the longtime MCU actors, because they each got to do something that was
especially Jeremy
really
Carter.
Powerful dramatically and like real character work.
Yeah.
They were like, okay, you've played around in tights and suits for a while. Here's some real like dramatic work you can do.
I remember wondering,
it was even like that. Even when you look at the filmmaking, it was the shots were incredibly intimate in just being it's just up close and personal, and it just gave you that sort of extra sense of like, oh, there's some real, they're real.
And they didn't get moments in Infinity War because it was a Thanos movie, and this movie hardly had Thanos in it, really. It had Thanos in, the one scene in the first act, and then...
Yep.
I can listen to Josh Brolin talk as Thanos all day.
Yeah. I hope we see Thanos again in the MCU. Somewhere. I don't know how. I don't care if it's a prequel, something. I mean, but I think Thanos is such an interesting character.
Yeah, I mean, there's all this... the whole permanence of death is always a big question in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
What if... I mean, I think there's a cool opportunity to go back in time where you need Thanos to help the Avengers.
Yeah, I mean, there is all of that on the table.
They've done it again.
Let's save that because we're getting into what we should see in Phase 4.
I want to say one of my favorite moments, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
When I thought Captain America was going to say, before we get started, does anybody want to get out?
Oh, in the elevator
And he says, Hail Hydra.
Yeah.
I lost it. I was like, oh, my God. Everybody, that was genius.
This shot of him walking out and just like the looks on everyone's face on the elevator was priceless.
Yep. Yeah.
No, I mean, was something like where everybody in my theater like got up on the edge of their seat when the elevator opens and he walks in and everybody starts putting together like, this is the
Winter
Soldier scene.
Because we all saw we've seen this scene. It's one of the best action sequences in the entire
MCU.
Everybody's
like, it's going to go down. It's going to go down, and then like when he's just like Hail Hydra, because you thought he was gonna say like, yeah, does anybody want to get off before we begin, and it's just like Hail Hydra.
And Paul Rudd's line before that, like, they kind of look like bad guys, like he's looking at them, it's fantastic.
When they're coming to collect everything,
that's good.
Yeah, that's a lot of, I mean, one of the best things I thought about the movie was all the intercool parts, like, that they kind of fit in, showing you these other sides of, like, what was happening during these other movies that you never saw before.
And they kind of broke the fourth wall a couple times, too. If you think of it, like, the Hulk says, it's kind of gratuitous, but I'll do it. He takes his shirt off, and then he's like, ah. And then the same thing where they extended the scene from the Avengers when they caught Loki.
Yep.
And then Tony... 2012 Tony turns around and he's like, all right, guys, well, if we're done posing, we can keep moving. And he like kind of mocks the fact that they all struck that pose over Loki. I was like, that's interesting that, like, that they're going with this kind of self-aware vibe. I mean,
why not? It's fun. Yeah.
Oh, no, like, it was great. It worked.
I love the Hulk scene when he has to go down the stairs.
That I was part. So mad when he knocked over Tony Stark and the timeline was going so well.
That was fantastic.
I love the scene where Professor Hulk sees Dumb Hulk smashing a car on a Chitauri and he's just like, oh. Yeah. It was just
like, yeah.
Watching
like,
these movies again will be different now.
Exactly.
It'll be a different experience watching the first Avenger, the first Avengers, Winter Soldier, Dark World, the Guardians of the Galaxy. They'll all be a different experience now. And the Russos have said that. They've said, like, it'll be, I think it'll be interesting to go back and watch the older MCU movies through a different lens.
And I think one of the things I also liked was the twist with how bringing past Thanos to the future and having that whole thing, because that was kind of, it connected a lot of things that I think were, like, set up by Infinity War really well. Like, when he tells Stark, like, he's not the only one cursed with knowledge.
I was wondering how that was going to pay off. I was really
wondering.
I'm
as smart as you. I can figure things out like you. And then, like, my whole theater, just, like, that scene where he's with and they figure out there's another nebula and he starts putting all the pieces together. Everybody in my theater is just like, oh, sugar, honey, iced tea. Like, oh, no. Like, oh, no.
Well, it gets to that point, too, where it's, like, the whole, like, Thanos saying, like, I am inevitable. Like, there were a number of points in that movie where you thought, oh, maybe he's right.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was a very cool aspect of the character that played out really, really well in that. Like, Thanos is someone who has always been super confident, and no matter what happens, he will always kind of be super confident.
Yeah.
I really like that about that.
All right. So we're gushing over it. Let's stop being polite and start getting real. Like, what are some things that you were disappointed in the movie? Even if they're like,
I've got one. I've got one that just I can't wrap my head around. One Pym particle brought Thanos' entire effing army to the freaking world, to the future.
Yeah, how did they do that?
Like, what?
Yeah,
they made a huge deal about, like, we only have one left and it's only, for us.
Why don't they just spread it out?
Entire effing army.
I guess he can fit a lot on that ship. Right? I don't know,
like,
man.
What the hell is that about?
That's very true. I also
know where you got emotional. It was probably when you saw Captain Marvel's future haircut.
Oh, the haircut.
Oh, that I lost my mind. Because that's how it should be.
No.
But, yeah,
Captain Marvel was
right, but, like, seriously, I said it in the office. I'm not going to shy away from saying it here. My biggest disappointment was seeing this made me. You can confirm when you see this that they shot this before Captain Marvel, because the character we were talking, that when we reviewed Captain Marvel, we said one of our big hopes was that in the Russo's hands we could get some, more from Carol than her own solo movie allowed us to get with its kind of approach. And we didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, this movie, she felt kind of really shoehorned in. Like,
she didn't even feel shoehorned in. Like, that's my issue, is that she's barely in the movie.
She was a plot. Yeah.
She's in the movie for 5 minutes.
Like, like, there's a big ship still in the sky. What are we going to do about that?
As soon as the scene hits where she goes, by the way, I'm going to be gone for a very long time. Exposition note, right? I'm going to be gone for, like, most of this movie. As soon as that scene happened, I went, oh, great. Like, she's not going to come in until the final act. And lo and behold, it's the final act.
I mean,
she finally comes in.
I'm not mad that she was barely in the movie. I think she was too new. And like we were saying earlier, this gave so many of the original characters such a great role. But
they made such an important part, though, of building her up. And then to only make her literally do... She does...
Think about how big of a role Black Panther had in Infinity War.
That's true, and he had...
He wasn't a huge role. It was all the same time, so it wasn't in the beginning and the end.
He got more... I feel like his thing made more of an impact than
no. His world did.
Yeah, his world did.
That's the problem.
Yes.
That's the problem. Infinity War needed Wakanda.
Wakanda and Black Panther felt very present, like... Marvel just is.
Captain,
like,
Marvel's story had no place here, though.
Land in this movie.
Yes, it did.
Captain Marvel's narrative. It did. The Captain Marvel movie had no relevance to Endgame. Besides,
in the Captain Marvel movie, you learned that, like, she can take on big giant ships by just blasting.
Well, sure. I agree. You learned her power set. Yeah. Her power set was learning the character.
And there's no way to work in the Skrulls. People, there's no way to work in all her time with on all these different
how
galaxies
are we
and bring
it through. Do it was well, 3 hours
but,
long.
But I mean, but they did give her some moments that
no, I'm saying that's a choice
that carried choice a bit of weight.
Made. It's not that she doesn't fit. It's that the directors right. made a choice. Not
yeah,
to
but the movie
her.
Was already 3 hours long. How that's, are we going to add scrolls? Else.
Well, but Captain Marvel didn't even have a script when they shot Infinity War.
I know. I'm not saying that. I'm saying,
and you can tell that's
yeah, that's and that thing you could tell.
Yeah, and that's a problem to me because that was disappointing.
Also, she's wearing a different costume.
I agree. I think her role was
the Philo Vell costume. The Philo Vell costume. That was awesome. Yeah, I thought she was just
very convenient for the movie.
Yeah, she was just a plot device.
It's
more
a plot,
than a
and that's disappointing.
Yeah,
that's not
was,
what
that
I want
was
to
my
see.
Disappointment.
Yeah. On the flip side, my biggest disappointment was Black Widow.
Yeah,
that was another one.
There's going to be a lot written about this whole Soul Stone thing. The fact that they just keep dropping female characters off things into
too.
Bloody ends at the bottom of it.
I understand, like looking at it kind of objectively, right? Mm. Of all the characters that they had left to do something, like all the characters that were alive, like Black Widow is the only one who had, like, she didn't really have, you know, quote unquote family or true ties. And so I see how they could have done that. Like the only other possible character they could have done that with that doesn't have any, like, real ties anywhere else may have been Rhodey, but I think that's also a bad, you know, potentially a bad look. You just maim Rhodey in every, you know,
yeah, I know,
Avengers movie. And so it just felt weird, especially to not have Black Widow in that A-Force moment.
Yeah. It felt, and what I will say is, like, my impressions of the movie, I feel bad going after you guys, because, like, I really enjoyed it. I really liked it as a movie, but I'm not as high as other people. I feel like it. There's some parts here that I don't love. Like, yeah, like I'm not as high on it as other people. But I thought that, I mean, I know you love Hawkeye, and I know the family part was a big part. But that in that moment, I honestly thought if they're gonna go for a gut punch, you go for him.
Yep,
because that.
I would have been okay. That, I mean, I would have been okay with that.
Yeah, and I don't. One
if
of the
Hawkeye
things,
disappeared,
if Hawkeye was a
sacrificed
himself.
Yeah, I mean, for a minute they make you think
yeah.
that he.
And that's a great sequence. Yeah. It's an awesome sequence. And then when it landed, I like Anissa noticed actually when we were in the theater that like that moment didn't resonate. Like no one in the audience.
Oh,
it didn't resonate
for me
with ours because they were like
it did for me too.
It didn't. There was no oh my god or anything like that. It was like oh it landed with a thud because she I feel she got jipped. That's a jippy death.
I think it was confusing in the fact that some people may have thought that like oh she could potentially
come back. Some of that I think
people,
is true
because the Soul Stone's too confusing. Yeah.
I mean I don't mind the death.
I'll just say I got it because I mean I was writing about this. We kind of wrote about Will. You know how will they finish out Black Widow and Hawkeye's arc. And their arc was always set up to be this doom thing because she basically was supposed to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
He gives her another life, so she gave him a life back to restore.
Right, and I get you right, and you're right. It comes full circle from that scene where she gives the bit of background in Avengers 1 when she's talking to Loki. That's it. That
I love
story
the premise. I didn't like the execution.
No,
yeah. I think
I also thought it was weird to show the body.
No, because it's Gamora. Now it was red blood, and now you have red blood and green blood.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's also the MCU. If you don't show a body, like because
it's history,
we're gonna assume it's
still alive. You know, it was a history. So they were actually kind of changing.
I mean, I think in the moment it was hard to accept. Like, oh wow, is she really dead? Because they're trying to bring everybody back, so it felt like you didn't get the impact of her death. But also, I think it comes down to how long are these people going to play these parts? Like, they want to do this Hawkeye TV show. True. I think that factored into it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that the narrative there, whether it's Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, or Jeremy Renner, I think a part of it is, okay, we have a Black Widow movie, but we don't have Scarlett Johansson forever, so she's probably done after the movie. That's probably why they're giving her the movie, so that it's like her, she can get the full Marvel experience as an actress. That really probably is what's happening.
But
here,
when I see the movie, I shouldn't have to factor all that in. I should be able to go, that character died because of this and this and this. I shouldn't have to worry about their contracts. That's not why I go to a movie.
I'm okay with Black Widow's death.
They don't get paid from them.
Mainstream audiences don't care either. Like they're going.
I mean, and it also makes
dies
more sense for her to die than Hawkeye. Like she, what?
Yeah, I mean,
her family
up
is
it was
the
set up
he has.
The
he's
right,
trying
yeah
to see his family.
Right.
But she owed mean him I a life. Like it. That was her whole ledger thing.
It makes perfect sense. I'm not critiquing the Russos as going, this point fits better into this point.
Yeah.
I'm saying, as a movie, it doesn't work as well as if Hawkeye had been the one, because it doesn't get as much emotional. It doesn't resonate as much.
But if Hawkeye died, it would have been stupid, because the whole point was for Hawkeye to reunite with his family.
Right. And what? And how much more devastating would that have been if he...
That would have just been stupid.
How is it stupid?
Tony died too, and he just had a family, and that's okay. Why is that okay, and one's the other's not?
Tony had to do it to save everyone.
And he would have done the same thing. He literally, if it had been, he
obviously
wants to sacrifice himself.
The Soul Stone thing is going to be split.
It's the same thing. You
the
just
same
like
thing
one more
as
than
Infinity
the other.
War. So we're just going to put a plug in that.
I like Iron Man. I don't see how that's different.
It's going to be a debate. Let's not get it down the rabbit hole you hear. Let's talk a little bit about Phase 4, because there is a lot in this movie that we should talk about in kind of setting up Phase 4. First of all, let's talk about the big thing, the time jump. You know, we have a major time jump in the MCU to 5 years from now, which is kind of a big deal, because they also bring, I mean, just the time travel, metaphysical mechanics of this, they bring everybody back from the snap 5 years later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So half the world has been alive in this nightmare for 5 years, and half the world is just back, like, what the hell happened, and has to adjust to the fact that 5 years have gone by. Which instantly, when I came out, I was like, damn, Marvel, you're good. Like,
that's great.
That instantly made me more interested in the title of Spider-Man Far From Home. I was like, now that title takes on, like, potentially, like, much deeper meanings.
Those trailers have a whole different feel now.
Oh, that was a good, and that's when I got unexpectedly emotional, was seeing Peter Parker and Ned see each other in the hallway and try to do their whole handshake sequence again. Like, that whole thing, like...
But, like, when is that? When is that?
What do you mean?
When is that?
I mean, they don't explain it.
But,
I mean,
I don't understand how...
Because if it's 5 years later...
If it's 5 years later, why are all the same people still in high school?
Right. That's a good question.
Because, yeah, I mean, do we know if Ned got dusted or not?
I mean, if the... The argument is if him and his friends got dusted, then they still have to finish high school, even if it's 5 years later, because they're the same age.
Yeah.
But that means all of them, the entire cast of Far From Home, got dusted, and now they're back in high school, because none of them
grew up. Is why I'm interested now. This is the trick that now hooks you about Spider-Man Far From Home, because... Yeah, maybe all the classmates, the main characters, got dusted, but maybe there aren't. There are other people they're going to come in contact with who are further along in life and completely gone, and they may have to deal with the fact that they were gone for 5 years and the world has, like, moved on and changed. That might be part of the storyline. I mean, it almost has to be at this point, and it'll be interesting to see.
Do we know if Happy was dusted?
I don't know for sure.
I don't think he was. I can't remember.
And these are like, and this is all...
Because everybody who is in Far From Home that we know of, like Maria Hill, Nick Fury, Spider-Man, all those people were dusted. Well, I don't know if Happy Hogan was, but...
Did he get a poster? I can't remember if he got one of those great
posters. Oh, yeah, he did get one, but I don't know if... It was in black and white, wasn't it?
Happy's poster? Was it black and white or color?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I saw John Watts at the premiere, and I immediately after the movie ended, and I was like, "Whew, good luck following that one." And he was like, "I don't know what to do."
He was in color, so
Happy Hogan
alive.
Was not dusted.
He was not dusted. Okay.
Okay, so he would be older than everybody in Far From Home.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be. I mean, this whole kind of future of the MCU is kind of going to be crazy to kind of figure out, and I can't wait to start. Kevin Feige, he's either going to be in a bunker for a little bit. But the five-year thing is interesting because I was thinking about it, and, you know, you have sequels that will deal with, you know, these heroes coming back 5 years later, like what happens in Wakanda with Doctor Strange and all that. What's Baron Mordo been up to if he's not dusted for 5 years? But you really don't have to start dealing with this in the 5 years in a new present until pretty much closer into the 2020s, given the films that we know are kind of coming down the pike. Things like Shang-Chi or The Eternals could be set within the 5 years that, you know, people are gone if these things happen, or they're not really relevant to the time so much as the franchises we know.
It'd be cool if the Black Widow movie is set in those 5 years.
I mean, that could be really cool too, something she did. And if it's set like that or a prequel, like, yeah. That. But they don't need to kind of necessarily immediately start picking up that thing. The only film that will be Far From Home, really immediately kind of dealing with that. And then we could take detours before we have to start.
So you're saying Far From Home is going to be the Iron Man 3?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
I'm wondering how much Phase 4 in general, like, Phase 4 could be all fallout from Endgame. Exactly. Every movie could be. I mean, you could do Shang-Chi and the Eternals just at different times, but if they want to, like, I mean, there are, I guess, plot holes that need explaining and that are going to change things. So, I mean, and also just the aftermath of Endgame and the aftermath of, like, the world now doesn't have Tony Stark or Captain America.
Yeah, those friends.
They don't have Steve Rogers, Captain America. So,
by the way, we missed one of the coolest moments.
What?
Is when he gives the shield
to Sam.
To Sam. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I cannot wait.
I want to know, I would like Captain to know why they, cool. like, how they explain why Bucky was like, yeah, you go. Because wouldn't Bucky, like.
I took it that Bucky, when he said goodbye to Bucky before he got on the platform.
Bucky knew.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. And he knew exactly. I mean, and that's, it was a deep cut. Bucky knows what Steve wants, like, more than anything in the world.
And Sam's going to need support.
Because that
as
was how they started. Remember, like, he was at the dance. He had two girls in, like, that whole scene that plays out in the first Avenger. So he knew what he, you know. His
and
best
Sam's going to need someone as a rock while he does this. Because this is going to be a completely different experience for him.
Yeah.
If it's anything like the books, which is awesome. I was a big fan of the Falcon Captain America days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I want to know. First of all, I think Kevin Feige is a genius for allowing these actors to kind of put more of their mold in the character. Like, I just love that they just are, like, so want to keep Chris Hemsworth around. They're like, you want to get weird with Thor, man? Get weird with Thor. Just, like, get weird with Thor.
And that,
like,
was one of my biggest turnoffs for the movie. I thought the Thor stuff, the funny Thor stuff. I mean, I'm one of those people who likes Ragnarok, but I am, like, at the bottom of the totem pole in terms of how much they like it. I thought it was too funny. It's just the stakes didn't feel there. So I thought when you bring in the scene with Thor in New Asgard and he's super fat and
I thought,
like,
it was hilarious.
I mean, it was funny, but it was also like, all right, we have, like, a lot going on here. I don't care for all these jokes right now.
It's a weird
the Fortnite jokes, the
it's a weird thing to kind of play with, right? Because clearly Thor is depressed.
Yeah.
And it's a really kind of fine line to
tread into Austin Powers territory with him.
Yeah, but at the same, like, here is someone who is just racked. He's racked with guilt, right? And and, you know, his environment, the situation, him getting fat, all that stuff is like, those are just like clear cut signs of just like of depression. Like,
yeah.
And so for them to, like, kind of joke about it is like, I feel like this should be a little bit more serious, but given what they've done with the character, it kind of makes sense. And then, you know, he finally comes around after, you know, seeing his mom. And then when he, you know, walks out with him and Iron Man and Cap when they're about to go.
You know what I was happy about, though? That they didn't immediately.
Like when he got his lightning and thinned him up and, like, he
made it. Yeah, I didn't want that. I love that he literally is battling Thanos.
And then it braided his beard.
They braided it. Someone said that next to me. Also, everyone booed at the Fortnite joke. Did anyone else get that in their audience? No. As soon as that hit, everyone was like, boo. And I was like,
Fortnite stuff was about a year too late.
People were just freaking out about Korg and Meek in my
I was losing my mind with Korg.
So, like, yeah.
The dab joke and the Fortnite jokes were both, like, a year too late.
Yeah, but, like, just Thor kind of, I want to know, is Thor going to be in Guardians 3? Is, like,
as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Like, is that happening?
I mean, that would be a pretty cool
I would
twist.
Love it.
I would love to see Thor in James Gunn's hands.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And, like, him competing with, like, Peter Quill to get her body.
That scene was great.
Like, yeah.
Like, if you give me a movie that has a bunch of those types of scenes, I'm down for that.
It'd be really, I'm really interested to see, is this Gamora always the Gamora that was always part of the plan? Like, with that whole, like, are we doing Guardians 3? Are we not doing Guardians 3? I mean, James Gunn was still listed as
she wasn't on the ship at the end of the movie.
Huh?
Gamora wasn't on the ship.
No, well, no, right. But I mean, but they're look, but they're but they're looking for her. I mean, you saw Peter
like search for Spock.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, like, is that going to be like a factor in Guardians 3? When was that always the plan?
Yeah, I'd be interested to know that.
Yeah.
How annoying must that be if you're James Gunn, that you have to like base your movie on someone else's?
But
he doesn't.
But
I mean,
Gunn is listed as an exec producer. He was.
He had
a huge part in the story for Infinity War, so he had to know.
I mean, I'm sure he knew.
This is just consolidating. I mean, a cosmic universe that has been Thor Ragnarok bent towards a Guardians mold.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of makes sense, and people love the Thor like Rocket. Group kind of trio.
How does it fit into sort of the grand Guardian story that James Gunn is trying to tell?
Do they get the Hulk too?
Huh?
You think they take the Hulk too?
No, I think Smart Hulk is my favorite Hulk.
MVP
but I think they,
of the movie.
Yeah, that was one of the best surprises. Like, yeah, the whole Professor Hulk thing.
I think Hawkeye gets MVP. Because he finally mattered.
Well, yeah. I mean, as much as I love Hawkeye,
so you get a participation award, but you don't get
Hulk. MVP. But like, it's one of those things where I love how they went to show that. Yeah, Bruce Banner is still very smart, but he's not that smart.
He's awesome. I absolutely
still kind of clumsy.
This is out of my his whole thing. Like, this is out of my field. Like, I don't do this. I'm really smart and like,
but even just like the scene in the restaurant. And,
oh, where he's taking the selfie and he's like, "Do you want it? Do you want one?" They don't know me. Like that whole. See, also
I
got
a phone.
Ant-Man was. I agree with you though. Ant-Man was supremely is one of the best parts
Ant-Man
of this movie.
Ant-Man was really good.
They put him on a pedestal and it was nice.
Yeah, no, it was. It was nice to see.
Paul Rudd kept up with everybody too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The promise of who wasn't featured in Infinity War as much would be heavily featured in this film was really fulfilled.
I think this was the first time I didn't see Paul Rudd and I actually saw Scott Lang and Ant-Man the whole time.
I tell you what, I thought Tilda Swinton's The Ancient One got way more personality and characterization in the 3 minutes total for screen than she did for all of Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Also, it made Anissa want to go watch Doctor Strange.
Yeah. I mean, they got every film. They made you want to go back and watch just about every film, even The Dark World.
Even The Dark World.
Yeah.
What he's describing.
The Aether,
That's a great.
And his Lebowski costume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, so many just deep cuts, so many ways to just pay off the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And
so what do you think Hulk's future is?
I don't know. That's a big
I think Hulk's future will be at what it's always been. Supporting / side main character.
So where do you think we see him again?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I honestly don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, of the movies that we think are in production,
She-Hulk?
Eternals and Black Widow, I don't think they fit unless Black Widow takes place in that 5-year gap, right?
They got to make another movie and essentially do a Thor Ragnarok type mix.
But I kind of think it's okay to put Hulk on a shelf for a little while.
Yeah.
And then that way, the next time you see him, you get a bit more impact.
But I agree. I love Smart. He's my favorite Hulk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's the best Hulk.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, that was really good. Mark Ruffalo has really just taken this role and just. It's really so made it his own. And they teased that. They said that this would be the most Ruffalo Hulk we got, and it very much was. And it really, really worked. And it was really, yeah. I enjoyed that a lot. What about that Game of Thrones style battle when Captain America did his Battle of the Bastards stand against the whole Thanos army?
Man,
that shot, I mean, that is was the money shot. You talk about the Avengers.
Started walking towards Thanos?
Yeah. And then, the portals open up and everybody starts jumping out.
Dude, and then even, Giant Man just, popping up out of the compound.
With Hulk in his hand.
I was like...
The War Machine armor? That War Machine armor at the end of the movie?
Where the hell did that come from?
I don't know. I was wait, did they just have, a spare...
Oh, my God, this made me... I can't believe I'm blanking on this. I'm still, processing so much. The one thing I do not like, and I think is a major plot hole for me, is... After everything everybody saw in Infinity War, I get it why Hulk had to do a snap to bring everybody back. That was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get why Tony Stark had to kill himself with a snap as opposed to just using the individual powers of the Infinity Gauntlet to take out a whole army.
I could see it as just a quick desperation move. I don't think, like, he was already in rough shape. The power, like, he was, I don't think he would have survived using the gauntlet to blast away everyone. And the only way that he was going to be able to just end it.
And Doctor Strange told him there's only one way.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, you saw what it did to Thanos. You saw what it did to Hulk. There's, I mean,
they couldn't beat Thanos. They couldn't, like, Captain Marvel couldn't beat Thanos. And granted, I was like, wait, why are y'all going at him one at a time right now? Because it was Cap, right? Then it was Thor, yeah. Then it was Captain Marvel, and then it was Iron Man. And I was like, if y'all would have just gone at the same time, would have been much different. But when he throws Cap off of him, punches Cap in the head.
Battlefield. Star-Lord was back on the battlefield.
He tosses Cap off of him and punches him in the head, and you're like, well, Cap's not coming back to this fight. Then Thor beats Thor, throws Captain Marvel, and I was like, wait, hold on. All he did was throw her. And then she comes back, and I was like, oh, okay. I thought she was there to say, but I want to know, and I have a cool theory I want to just throw out there. Thanos' sword was able to destroy Captain America's shield, which was made of vibranium, the strongest, most unbreakable thing in the world, in the universe, basically. So,
In the MCU.
Mm-hmm. What if Thanos' sword is made of adamantium and we break it down and put it in Wolverine one day?
Oh.
That'd be cool.
It's a cool cut, yeah.
And here we go. But that's a good point. Speaking of Wolverine, I mean, like we were saying about the time and the time jump, the reason I was bringing that up is now it doesn't seem so crazy when Kevin Feige's saying things like a 5-year plan till we get to X-Men. Like you said, there's so much we have to do with just the fallout of Endgame, things that possibly happened in those 5 years, all this stuff to clean up before
there has to be an entire phase.
Yeah, before things actively start moving forwards and you possibly begin to find out that not everything is.
But I think that's something that will give the MCU continued life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and they will do a bunch of a bunch of this cleanup stuff, and then boom, we're like Marvel, Disney doing the X-Men is going to just kick off a whole nother thing. And then there's still the Fantastic Four that they can fit in
at
any point in time.
That they'll ever get as big of a movie as this one. I mean, maybe more characters.
I mean, until
somehow
they do Avengers versus X-Men, but
but I think that without Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and Hugh Jackman, that movie, just the title is very exciting, but it doesn't get you what you want. I think, though, one of the most exciting things, and I don't think it can lead to Endgame level of hype again anytime, maybe it'll take another 10 years, but I don't think we could get this big again with Marvel. I hope I'm wrong, but I really hope that since they see that this format works, that this shared universe building towards a big event works, they have their next Endgame in mind. So, and when I say that, I mean like, if they knew they were going to time travel to these movies back when they made these movies, they would have put little subtle things in these movies.
Yeah.
And their time travel rules would have worked better. And like if the Avengers, after they caught Loki, said, oh, I heard something over there. And like, you didn't know what it was. And then now it turns out it was Iron Man walking through the same scene or just anything like that. Or even Gamora's little knife that she had in the first movie that Thanos gave to her that we didn't see in the first two Guardians movies. Now that they know this works and they're going to start building towards things, I hope that they start planting those seeds in all of the next 25 movies.
I agree.
Until the next Endgame. And that way, it all works. It all pays off even more.
Yeah.
So basically, you're saying after conquering the entertainment industry and making landmark new bars for what blockbuster films can do, you want Kevin Feige's job to get even harder.
Yes.
And have to plan this even deeper.
But he took Iron Man from me. You know what? Screw that guy.
Like, yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. Oh, man. So,
can we talk about Ty Simpkins at the end? What the hell is that about?
Yeah. What are you guys talking about?
I think we heard his voice earlier in the movie.
So, okay, so Ty Simpkins, who played Harley, the kid from Iron Man 3, shows up at the funeral.
He was a random kid.
He was the random kid.
He was the awkwardly older kid who I was like, who the hell is that?
Okay. That was Harley. I think we heard his voice, or I think when Tony got knocked out at one point, I think it was right when Avengers HQ fell down, you hear like a wake up, boss, and it's like really quickly it sounds like it's Friday, but I'm pretty sure that it was Ty Simpkins' voice telling Tony to wake up. Like, I think Tony's just, I don't know, motivated by saving the kids, man.
I don't know, man. That's a good, I mean, this is what leads into another big question. Like, We know the Hawkeye series is probably coming and might wrap up that character. We know Bucky and Falcon are probably doing a series together. None of these are hard confirmed or somewhat confirmed or whatever. But, like, yeah, like the Captain America franchise, is that done now? Is there something we're going to transition into? Iron Man? Or, I mean, we heard rumors that Marvel was considering something like an Ironheart movie. Like, what happens next with all of those things?
Well, I think you can start going down the road. And then we talked about this. I think a couple weeks ago or not, but the idea of legacy in the Marvel Universe and how, like, I think we're just now starting to see those seeds just start to germinate a bit. I mean, theoretically, you know, the Kate Bishop series could set her up. We now know, you know, Cassie Lang is older.
Yeah. And should they purposely cast somebody and, you know,
But I think
final shot of her with Ant-Man and Wasp.
There's a good chance that Harley could be the next Iron Man.
I miss cute little Cassie Lang, though.
Iron Man type character.
And I mean, Sam's going to be take over.
Right.
Sam will take also, over that gives you a Winter Soldier-esque, like, being able to put Bucky in it. You can put another Marvel hero, throw them in the mix. It gives you another point. And you're watching this now. You know, it's going to be a very different spin on Cap, and that's great.
But I think it was like, but these are all people who have grown or who have grown up in a world where the Avengers exist and have have ties, obviously, to Avengers and whatnot. Like, that's a thing that gets me immensely excited about, like, the future of the MCU is just like we're now finally starting to see the people that have lived in this world, what that effect has.
Yeah.
And I think for us as, you know, just fans who have sort of grown up in this world, it just makes the most sense.
Kamala Khan's going to be next up to play too at some in the next.
So you see, you think we're getting a young Avengers in the next phase?
I think we're working towards a young Avengers,
which I'd be totally fine with.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. If anybody else has
also, I would like to add just a thing because I feel like I came off extremely negative in this podcast. I'm really not. Like, I really enjoyed it. I was just, I feel like I went after you two, and I feel like I just had to kind
fill a void.
But as far, like, I really enjoyed this movie. I just.
Matthew Aguilar is much more peppery.
It probably sits in my.
Ooh, rankings. Oh, boy.
It sits, like, it's not in my top five, and it might not be in my top ten.
Okay, here's one I did want to end with. Let's go around.
That's wow.
You just set it up. So, I mean, I think I know your answer. Now that we have both halves of this complete, you know, Infinity Saga, which one did you like better? Did you like Endgame better, or did you like Infinity War better? Let's start with you, Jim.
Such different movies.
Yeah, really still are. The question's going to come up. Let's get to it.
Endgame is going to be the one I probably watch over and over.
I don't know, man. Infinity War's rewatchability is
because you get everything that you need from Infinity War in Endgame.
I kind of agree with that. I feel like I don't need to I didn't feel like I needed to rewatch Infinity War to get it all. I feel like I need to rewatch Endgame to pick up all the little things.
Endgame tells you that Thanos beat their butts and
Infinity War. You mean
Infinity War? Endgame says, but Endgame tells you everything you need to know about Infinity War.
Yeah, but also fairly well. Weighs different characters and has different stuff.
I want to watch that final battle scene over and over and over.
Infinity War jumps from like four really interesting story threads to the next. Like it just goes story like Thor story with Rocket and Groot and. Just all the different. I don't know which one's more rewatchable.
I mean, I like all those bits from Infinity War, but I think as a movie that I will probably like if given the chance and they're sitting side by side, I don't think that's recency bias for me either. I only watched Infinity War again before having to go see.
I actually said Infinity War last night when I came out of Endgame, but interestingly enough, I woke up and now I'm not so sure. Like I'm actually not sure. I have to see Endgame again. To really kind of nail it down, but I'm not so sure. Like, Endgame is a fun experience, but I think there's a lot that I've rewatched Infinity War, like, you know, more than a couple times, and there's a lot I like in that movie. Just so many of the character interactions I love in that movie that you get more of. Where this one is like, there is a bit more of a slower burn build up to like the first act and seeing what happened to everybody after the 5-year jump and stuff. And those are parts I could see myself fast-forwarding past in the future, whereas Infinity War is pretty much start to finish, just like boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, the first 45 minutes of Endgame, I feel like, are kind of skippable after you watch them once.
Yeah. There's great moments, but I agree, yeah. Like, it was a little...
It was necessary, but it was a lot. Mm.
It was just to give the actors time each to stretch and really work some scenes and do some stuff. Like, and I get that. But, like, yeah. I mean, yeah. Still, I think my favorite line out of both films is still the Drax and Mantis line. You know, what do?
We
kick names and take ass. And then Tony Stark's just, like, Robert Downey Jr.'s reaction after that.
Is amazing.
Yeah, and just, like, moments like
that. We're not going to get any more Robert Downey Jr. reactions.
I don't think that's saying... I think that's the thing I'm dealing with now, is, like, it hasn't, like, really sunk in.
We're not going to get any more
Chris Evans is probably gone, and Robert Downey Jr. is dead. Like, Iron Man is really dead. Oh man! And that last line that he gets, well, "I am Iron Man," just taking it all back. Like
I thought when I first saw it, when he said, "And I am," and I was like, "Tired of you, say tired of you or something." Don't die. And he goes, "Iron Man," and I was like, "Oh god!" And then they don't show him for the next like minute and a half. And I was like, "Yo, where's my boy at?"
I'm not the biggest. Tony? I've never been like the biggest Gwyneth Paltrow Pepper Potts fan, but I will admit like that scene between.
No, they gave her really
like she when she just says like you can rest now and all.
We'll
that
be stuff. Okay. Like
that's
that
was crushing. Yeah. I didn't cry, but that was crushing.
Yeah, like, was, they gave her really good work to do in this movie.
This is a bit of a
when they fought back to back.
That was awesome. Yeah.
This is a bit of a tangent, but I wanted to sort of go back to something Brandon had said at the very beginning about the first argument between Tony and Cap. Do we think that was altered, or do we think that Tony or that Robert Downey Jr. really got that gaunt?
No, that was so when we saw the when we saw the footage on the Disney lot, they showed us the space scene where he was very skinny, which it didn't look like that in the trailer. And so we talked to the Russo brothers afterwards, and we were just asking how they did it. It was very similar technology to what they did in the first Avenger, where they had a different body skinny. and they had different digital stuff to his face, and they were just saying how the technology has evolved and it makes it much easier to do now, and that's what they did.
It looked really good.
It did, and I was like,
it was totally believable.
And I wouldn't have put it past Robert Downey Jr. to maybe do that, but I was like,
he didn't do that, no. Ooh. But it looked great.
That was an intense scene, yeah. But all right, that seems like a weird enough place to just wrap this up and leave it all there. If you want to talk about Avengers Endgame spoilers with us, you can find us at the hashtag Comic Book Nation. If you are just tuning in for the first time, ride with us because the show is good and we do it Wednesdays and Fridays. And you can find new episodes on comicbook.com. We have an RSS feed that you can subscribe to. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. And you can find us individually online. You can get find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
And you can find me at Brandon Davis BD.
And
you can't find Jim Viscardi.
You can find Jim Viscardi at Jim Viscardi.
At Vid. And here we go. Like I said in our last episode, we were living in one universe before we saw Avengers Endgame, and now we're living in another universe after we've seen it. So
I love how we thought we weren't going to like talk about Avengers Endgame much longer after this, but we're probably going to be talking about Avengers Endgame.
There's going to be a lot of stuff that comes back up.
This.
And we're not even through the weekend yet because, people, Game of Thrones is coming up and the Battle of Winterfell. When we come back for our next episode, we're going to be equally as scarred by the Battle of Winterfell and trying to deal with all that. So
love you, 3,000.
Yeah, go to your happy place. Everybody go to your happy place for a while. This is Comic Book Nation, signing off.
Deuces.